Are you ready to talk Padres baseball?
We've got you covered.
Yesterday, the Padres beat the Cubbies 4-3, thanks in large part to a huge 2-RBI double from Derek Norris in the eighth.
High drive, left field, and it's fair. It is! Into the corner. Norris has the lead of the game. One run scores. Here comes Spangenberg.
Today, our hosts Jesse Agler and Randy Jones will continue trying to think of the only things that could possibly be more fun than watching the Padres win at Petco Park.
You want a bounce house for adults?
Yeah.
I endorse that fully. I wouldn't combine it with Beer Fest.
I would not. Yeah. I could get
on a separate night.
How about a giant slip and slide on the grassy hill?
For like a hot day in the summer?
Yeah.
Now we're talking.
I'm telling you, that'd be awesome.
Now, coming to you from the AMR studio, which only for the time being does not have a bouncy house or slip and slide.
I really want to bounce house.
It's Padres Social Hour, presented by United Airlines, with your hosts, Jesse Agler and Randy Jones.
Welcome to Padres Social Hour, presented by United Airlines. Hey, RJ.
Yes, sir.
How about that hockey game last night? No, I'm kidding.
What?
I'm kidding.
Three overtimes?
All these Chicago fans, man, they're all wrapped up in the Blackhawks and the Duckies last night.
Well,
quack,
hey.
Quack, baby. Blackhawks won last night.
They were working late last night.
Yeah, no, I mean, when we can leave a Padre game, go home and watch 2 hours of another sporting event, you know that it's a pretty late night for whoever is involved.
We actually did post-game on the radio, and I thought we might have a chance to even watch when we got home.
Did you?
No.
Oh, you just missed it then.
It ended as soon as we were done. We were walking out a little
bit. Got it. All right, well, welcome to Padres Social Hour. We're here at the AMR studio in Petco Park. He's Randy Jones. I'm Jesse Agler. James Shields, last night's starting pitcher for the Padres, is going to stop by the studio in a few minutes, and we're going to talk to him. A 4-3 win last night over the Cubs. Nice way to start the series. That's how I sum that one up.
Well, you know, the one thing what I really like is the ball club. You know, the Cubs made some errors. And we were talking about, hey, you get that extra out, that extra opportunity, it's going to hurt you. And we made them pay for it yet last night, and I'd love that.
There were mistakes, three of them, in fact,
yes,
for the Chicago Cubs. The Padres scored 4 times, 3 of the runs considered unearned. And, of course, it's a little bit misleading when you just sort of think about it in that simple way. And we've discussed this when it comes to Andrew Cashner before. Because, okay, the guy gets on base because of an error, or maybe the guy advances because of an error. But the hits still have to be here. And the Padres did come up with hits after the
errors. They come up with the clutch hits at the right time. But, you know, the errors set the whole thing up. And that's the real key to it. And that's what good ball clubs have to do, take advantage of that. And that was a great win for the ball club.
Yes, it was. Late inning offense, I love that. I'm not going to get wrapped up in Jason Hamill through 4 perfect innings or whatever it was to start.
But
that's impressive.
That was an impressive start overall.
I will give
innings.
The silly tip of the cap to Hamill. But
sure.
I'm not wrapped up in that from a Padre perspective.
Hey,
if he threw 9 perfect innings, that would be one thing.
That's the tip of the cap.
4 perfect innings and then runs allowed. I don't care that he had those 4. I'll take that any night of the week.
Hey, as long as we win, I'll tip my cap.
That's what
I'm saying. Every night.
That's what I'm saying.
I'll be happy to.
All right.
But it was an impressive start by him.
Yes. No, it was very nice. 7 innings, 2 unearned runs, just 3 hits, no walks, 8 strikeouts. I think the way I felt about Hamill last night from the Padre perspective was that the Padres survived him. They survived him.
Good point.
And they did just enough. And then they got a little bit more, and they added on at the end.
And I just love the way the Padres have this unique way of giving up those solo shots, Jesse.
Yes.
Not 2-run homers.
A lot of home runs allowed.
Solo shots.
Many of them solo homers. 2 home runs allowed by James Shields, another by Craig Kimbrell. And yes, of all the home runs the Padres have given up, and there have been plenty this year, the vast majority of them have been solo homers. Now, let's focus in on Shields, who's going to be stopping by, and maybe we can discuss this with him.
Sure.
Maybe you bring it up. But with all the home runs that he's allowed, you say, okay, well, isn't that nice for him that so many have been solo shots? But that's not an accident. That's because it's hard to get on base against James Shields.
That's exactly right.
So in a weird way, I want to give him credit for that.
Yes. And the unique way, I mean, even Catfish Hunter gave up a lot of home runs in his career, Hall of Fame career. And, you know, like you said, but he said, hey, as long as they're solos, you know, it's one run.
That's it. It's one run.
One run.
And it's not going to kill you. The guy, at the end of the day, Shields, he allows 2 earned runs on 6 hits in 7 innings. He strikes out 11. If those runs had been manufactured, we're not even talking about those 2 runs. We're talking about what a great start it was for James Shields. And it was a great start.
It was a great start.
He leads the National League in strikeouts again after K-ing 11 last night.
He gets a no-decision last night, but it kept the ball club in the game. and that's his job. And we won the ball game. That's the most important thing.
He's been the guy for a lot of his starts this year who's gotten a ton of run support. He didn't get a ton last night. He got a little bit. And then against the bullpen,
all
they got some more.
All I James Shields to do is just, you know, go out like 7 innings last night. Great job. And let that build some momentum with the starters. Let that he's the number one guy. Now, with Tyson Ross, you know, pick it up tonight and maybe get this starting rotation going.
You want to see this thing continue this evening?
Yes.
No, I do too. Look, if the Padres, and we keep talking about it, right? Because they're treading water. They're right around 500, a couple games over, one game under, now back at 500. They're just treading water right now. What we're all saying is, hey, let's see 6 in a row. Let's see 8 out of 10, whatever it is. Let's see a stretch where the Padres go 8-2 or 7-3. And most likely, in order for that to happen, the rotation's going to have to turn over 1.5-2 times.
That's
where
correct.
Everybody is really kind of doing what we expected them to do at the start.
That's your whole goal, you know, to do that. And you know, it's going to happen. I just like to see it happen sooner than later.
Let's say now.
Yay.
Okay, that works for me.
There we go.
Hey, he was not the only good pitcher last night for the Padres, James Shields. Joaquin Benoit came out of the bullpen to throw the eighth inning, and he did so very effectively. And, in fact, because of that, Joaquin Benoit is our Firehouse Subs sub of the game. Eighth inning, he's got Chris Bryant, Anthony Rizzo, Starlin Castro. The meat of the order in a tie game in the top of the eighth inning. He gets Bryant to ground out, he gets Rizzo to ground out, and then he strikes out Starlin Castro. So a really, really nice job out of the bullpen by Joaquin Benoit last night. He is our Firehouse Subs, sub of the game, Randy.
And he got the win.
Yes, that too.
4-1. He's on pace for 16 wins and 35 innings pitched.
Yeah, exactly.
Beautiful.
Exactly. All right.
That's
so
the way to do it.
Joaquin is our Firehouse Sub of the game. Make sure to check out the new edition of Firehouse Subs at Petco Park or visit any of their San Diego locations in Point Loma, Escondido, or Encinitas. He is the Firehouse Subs
good
sub
stuff.
Of the game. Craig Kimbrell comes on to get the save. He allows the solo homer with two outs. My feeling on Craig Kimbrell so far is he knows exactly what the score is when he's out there. He had the one blown save in Arizona, but outside of that, he has done exactly what you would want him to do from a results standpoint. I don't want to be accused of anything, but I don't care that he gives up that home run last night so long as he gets the save.
Yeah, and overall, you know, he's not exactly 100% right, and he will be, but he's still getting the job done. That's what it's all about. I mean, all right, you give up the one run. It really didn't hurt anything, so I'm fine with it.
All right.
Win.
That's it, man. That's all I care about. This is a results-based business, and the win is the main result when it comes to the end of the game. I don't know what's going to happen next when James Shields is here, but something is going to happen.
I know one thing. You're sitting by him.
No, he sits next to you.
No way.
Yeah, no, he sits over there.
We got to switch, man.
No, that's not going to happen.
Okay.
All right, College Night presented by Uber returns tomorrow at Petco Park. Event features a live DJ spinning on the Bud Patio with food and drink specials. Tickets just $10 in advance at padres.com/college, and you get home safe with Uber and receive $20 off your first ride using the promo code GOPADRES. College Night tomorrow night at Petco Park. James Shields when we return.
We're back to the AMR studio located in the Western Metal Supply Company building. It's more of Padres Social Hour.
All right, welcome back. Padres Social Hour presented by United. We're here at the AMR studio at Petco Park with 1976 National League Cy Young Award winner Randy Jones. I'm Jesse Aguilar. Got another guy here who can throw the baseball pretty well. James Shields, a.k.a. The Paul Bunyan
I don't
of
think
baseball.
That's not what's on his mind.
He doesn't want to talk about pitching, does he?
No, he gets one hit. Typical starting pitch, you get one hit and look at you.
He's been swinging the bat pretty well.
Yeah, figured,
now we know why.
I figured I got a double last night on one of my former teammates, so I need to rub it in somehow.
Yeah. Oh, that's cruel.
Jason Hamill last night. Yeah, the guy throws four perfect innings, and then that wasn't a cheap double either. That was a legitimately hard-hit ball.
Yeah, it took me about 30 seconds to get to second base, but I got there.
What's for those of us who don't have a stopwatch on us during baseball games, where do we like to see guys get to second base from a time standpoint? If you were 30 seconds, what's good?
Oof.
Like Almonte or Spangenberg, I mean, they're coming into like 27, 28.
When you're on the mound, and you know when they're going to be on second, okay?
Never.
Usually, as soon as they hit it, you know if it's a double. You know if
got
it's,
it.
You know,
yeah.
You got a pretty good idea.
You know, but that's the thing. You could take 30 seconds to get there because it was a no doubt double.
Yeah, but you know,
he's able to cruise into the thing.
But then you give up a hit to him, a six hopper up the middle. What's that all about?
Yeah.
Did you feel bad?
Well, he
gave him a pitch.
He kind of owed me one.
That's beautiful.
All right.
That's great, man.
I wanted to strike him out though.
when the former teammates face each other. It's always a fun thing, at least for those guys. At least for those. I don't know that the rest of the team is really all that into it. I guess it depends on the situation, but it's definitely cool for the pitchers. All right, we know the ERA. We know the record, both outstanding, obviously. How are you feeling so far this season?
You know, besides me giving up homers all day, I feel pretty good. Nah, I mean, you know, I feel like I'm pitching well, you know. You know, my main focus every game is to keep my team in the game, give us a chance to win, and, you know, hopefully at the end of the day we're going to win ball games. And, you know, so far I think I've done pretty decent.
You know, about 10 days ago I mentioned, you know, in the post-game show, I mentioned that I don't think I've ever seen somebody that has as good as command outside the strike zone as you have. And I mean that, you know, it was a compliment.
Right.
I mean, I'm very, very impressed the way you execute your game plan and your pitches. You know, and it's really impressive. And the key thing is where you might get a little bit of trouble, you get behind 2-0,
right,
3-1. Hey, you're going to throw a strike.
Right.
All right.
No doubt.
Some solo shots have been happening. Fine. But, you know, most of the time, you know, the rumor has it that they fail 7 out of 10 times, right?
Right.
Yeah, you know, 300 hitter.
Right, exactly.
You know, what's for the squaring up every time you throw one?
Yeah,
out?
I don't know. I mean,
I don't
it's,
get it.
You know, something weird's happening here in Petco, man. It's but no, I mean, it's, you know, it's one of those times. I mean, you know, I've thrown balls right down the middle and they swung and missed. I've thrown balls right down the middle, they popped it up, and, you know, and unfortunately, they're squaring it up right now. But it's all good, man.
I just really enjoy watching you because, you know, you have so much confidence in your pitches. You're behind in the count. You know, they're sitting dead red. You're throwing a changeup
right
at them or a little breaking ball. And like you said, your breaking ball was a little bit better, I think, last night than, you know, maybe it had been in the last couple of starts.
Yeah,
it was very late.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, in Seattle I felt I had a really good curveball as well. I had, you know, I think my fastball actually has increased in velocity a little bit, you know, going through spring training, all that stuff. But, you know, I think everything's going good right
it's
now.
Good.
You know, I think I just go out there, compete, and, you know, throw my sleeve out there.
James Shields is with us. He's on the Cholula hot seat. You brought up the home runs. I'll bring up the strikeouts. Those are way up, too. Is that something – I mean, you're leading the National League, for goodness sakes. You had 11 last night. You guys can both talk about this maybe.
I mean, can't talk
about you weren't a strikeout guy, I know. You
no
like to pitch to contact. But,
that's right.
I mean, is there a point in a game when you're like, okay, you know, this feels like a strikeout kind of game? Because I know getting the out is
right
the main thing. How does that go as you sort of go along?
You know, I've never been one to really care about strikeouts, nor I don't think I ever will. You know, I think my main focus is getting out. I try to get – every hitter out within three pitches. I believe if I do that, I'm going to go as deep as I can in the game. And, you know, I want to finish the game. I mean, every time I go out there, I want to go nine, you know. And if you're gonna worry about strikeouts, you're definitely not going to be going nine too often. You know, strikeouts will come, you know. And I think when I get to two strikes, I definitely want to try to punch them out.
Of course.
You know, or runner on third with, you know, one out or no outs, I'm going to try to punch a guy out. But other than that, I mean, I don't really try to worry about too much and just go out there and try to make my pitches and execute.
You know, watching you on the mound, though, you know what I like, and I'm watching you pitch, and you throw that perfect, you know, slider off the plate just a little bit, and they take it. They don't swing at it. And I'm going, how do you take that pitch? You
know? Yeah.
And you got to be saying that to yourself sometimes. I mean, you execute the pitch perfectly. I go, how do you not swing?
Well, now that I'm a hitter, you know, I think now that I'm a hitter, I think I say that a lot more now than I do because I'm swinging at them all the time. But, you know, I mean, I think it's just kind of one of those things. I mean, I've always been a type of pitcher. I like to throw middle to out. You know, I don't really like to work out to in. I like to work middle to out. You know, like you said, it's a, you know, if the pitch looks like a strike and it goes out of the zone, there's a good chance you're going to swing at
that's
it.
That's right.
So.
Yeah. All right. James Shields is here. Run support, it has, for most of your starts this year, been outstanding. Not always the case, obviously, with every guy. We talk a lot about, you know, Cashner's sort of been snake bitten there going back even to last season. Is that discussed among pitchers? Like, when it's just the pitchers, do you guys sit around? I mean, is that something that ever comes up in conversation or just totally out of your control?
You know, I've led the league a bunch of years with least run support in my career, and I've been middle of the pack. You know, I think it just depends on the year. You know,
yeah,
it depends on your slot.
And
depends on.
Yeah, enjoy. It's wherever your slot is.
Yeah, I mean, it depends on who you're facing.
Any starting pitcher, you got to 5 years, you've pretty much been in all three of the gambits. You know, you get at the end, every time you look up, it's either 0-0 or 1-1.
So what do you say to the guy that's not getting any run support and he gives up two and he feels like, you know, the world is over?
Oh, man. I mean, I feel like if you don't like it, pitch better.
And you're not getting my spot.
Yeah. It's, no, I mean, you just got to hang with it, man. I mean, here's the bottom line. You got to see who you're facing, you know, and you know, you're facing a guy like Kershaw. You're not going to get, can't give up too many runs, you know, and, you know, you got to compete. And all I say, no matter who you're pitching, you got to just outpitch them. You know, doesn't matter who it is, you got to just outpitch them. And that's how you're going to collect wins. You know, for instance, last night, Jason Hamill, he pitched a hell of a game last night, and you know, and I didn't get the win, but I kept us in the game long enough for us to score some runs late in the game off their relievers. So, you know, if you can try to outpitch your opponent, you're going to win a lot of games.
Yeah, you keep going seven innings, that's solid. Your ball club needs that. You know, yeah. I know you want to go nine. I understand that part, but you keep punching guys out, you're not going to see the ninth that often.
No. You definitely. We need to go deeper in the game for sure. We need to give our bullpen a little breather. You know, I'm a big believer in throwing as many innings as we possibly can, because at the end of the day, at the end of the year, we want our bullpen as fresh as we possibly can going into the playoffs.
Makes a lot of sense. And spoken like a guy who's been there before and knows what it takes. What about life? I mean, you're a local guy. You signed with the Padres as a free agent in the offseason. That has to make things a little nice this year, huh?
Oh, man. I mean, how beautiful is San Diego? I drive into the ballpark and I watch the look at the ocean every day, and I get to go to the beach whenever I want. And
take your skateboard down
there? Yeah, take my skateboard and ride down there a little bit. And
well, I know you're not riding from the house. You better drive down. No, I've been on those roads. You don't want to go there.
Yeah, I've been known. I've been known.
In the offseason.
Yeah, right? The road backers don't like me very much.
I would think.
No, but, I enjoy it. I mean, this is one of the greatest places in our country and in the world, man. And I'm enjoying my time here.
No doubt the family's enjoying it as well.
Oh, my gosh. My kids love it. And
That's great.
You know, everyone loves it, man.
Nice to have everybody in the same place.
One of those best kept secrets.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a reason that I'm still here. You know, I figured it out a long time ago.
Yeah, I was going to say, yeah.
I figured it out. I'm not going nowhere.
You kind of show up here and you're like, yeah, no, this is good. Yeah,
well,
yeah.
If you're mad living in San Diego, there's something seriously wrong with you.
That's the headline right there. All right, Spoonie Barger on Twitter, who I don't believe is Tim Spoonie Barger, but he wants to know, Mr. Shields, as he asked it, if you've ever met Zach from Saved by the Bell. What's the story here?
Well, somebody told me a while ago that he went to my high school.
Bayside?
Well, I wasn't from Bayside, but he went to my high school growing up. But I'm not really confirmed on that.
Okay.
Because I was kind of an airhead in high school, so you know, I never really worried about any of that stuff. But he could have gone to my high school. You know, I've never.
He's older than you are.
Yeah, he's older than I am. I don't know by how much, but not too much. But
I feel like he was in his 30s on the show. That's probably not true, but I feel like all those high school shows.
I think he was in his 20s. I think he was in his early 20s. But
We'll look into this for you.
Maybe you'll run into him in the reunion when you go back to your high school.
Yeah. James Shields.
Yeah, no, I've never met him.
Okay.
So, no.
Blooper, can you look into that for us?
I'll give it a shot.
All right, thank you. He's an expert researcher. He'll find out what's going on there. Love James Shields and his Paul Bunyan baseball bat here.
That's what we're going to be using tonight against the Cubbies.
I like that. I like that a lot. Hey, man.
If you can't sacrifice bunt with that, we got to talk.
I see a hitter that has this size of bat, I'm going to be pretty scared.
As I say, a lot of off-speed pitches. Just leave it all down.
I love it.
All right, man. Thanks for stopping by. Congrats on the great start.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks a lot.
All right, that's James Shields on the Cholula Hot Seat. Cholula is the flavorful hot sauce with the iconic wooden cap. For a punch of delicious jalapeno and poblano, check out the new green pepper sauce flavor today. Big, big thank you to James Shields for stopping by. More Padres Social Hour right after this.
We're back to the show that gives you everything San Diego Padres. It's Padres Social Hour, presented by United Airlines.
All right, welcome back. Padres Social Hour with Randy Jones. I'm Jesse Agler. Thanks to James Shields for stopping by. He's cool, man.
Yeah.
He's a cool guy.
I can see him in the morning on a skateboard going along the coast.
Just enjoying the sun.
Got his hoodie on.
Yeah. Now, he is Mr. California. He went to William S. Hart Union High School up in Newhall, and he was asked if it's the same high school as Zach from Saved by the Bell. I know, Randy, you are a big Saved by the Bell fan. According to Wikipedia, it is, in fact, the same high school. This is a pretty good list of alumni here. I'm just picking. Random.
Okay, right, please.
Bob Walk.
Hey.
Bob Walk went to this high school. Kyle Bowler, the old quarterback. Kevin Millar.
Wow.
Went to this high school. Matt Moore, the quarterback, who I know from the Dolphins. He's a really good guy. Todd Zeal.
From that high school.
All from that high school.
From Newhall.
And, yeah, including Mark-Paul Gosselaar, who was saved by the bell, who Zach Morris from Saved by the Bell, 41 years old now, James Shields, 33. So yeah. they obviously, unless Mark-Paul went to high school very late, yeah. which is possible because the acting thing, I don't know how that works.
I don't get that.
I ain't fancy Hollywood like you.
I'm not sure, Zach.
But, you know, 41, 33, so I would think they would not have overlapped.
I would think not.
In high school.
Well, unless he was held back about 8 years.
But I'm saying with the acting, you never know. He could have gone to high school later. I don't know.
Yeah, you never know.
But, yeah, no, according to all of that, it would, in fact, be the same high school. So mystery solved. Good research, Blooper. Thanks for
getting on top of that.
All right. James sort of brought up the home runs, and I appreciate him doing it, so I didn't have to. The home runs are up for James Shields. The home runs are up for all the Padre pitchers this year. I would have, though. Let me tell you, I'm tough.
Yeah, I know you are.
I'm real tough. I would have brought them up.
I was ready to mention it because you weren't going to mention it.
I don't know what you're talking about. Yeah. Jeff Sullivan, Fangraphs.com, wrote a really, really interesting piece today. You should all check it out. I tweeted it earlier if you want the link, about the Padres' home run numbers from a pitching perspective. About 17% of fly balls hit against the Padres this year have left the yard.
Is that home and away?
Yes.
Is that both?
Combined. 17%. That is a very, very high percentage. The Padres, on average, since 2002, little over 10% of the fly balls have left the yard. 17. Well, that is an increase of 7%.
Yeah, and the one thing, I mean, I didn't mention it when James was here, but you notice that one fly ball that Fowler hit to right, because, you know, from the press box, it sounded like he might have got it. It was caught off the wall by Kemp.
Yeah.
You know, and you notice that James didn't leave. He was still on the mound.
Yes.
Until it was caught.
Yes.
So it kind of looked like it. But, yeah, you have a tendency right now, the ball, especially here at this ballpark, is carrying a little bit more. I'm not saying it's substantial, but, you know, you can see a little bit of difference than I've seen in the past few years.
No question about it. That's the bad news. Would you like the good news?
Yes.
The good news is, according to the mathematics supplied by Jeff on Fangraphs.com, and they're not gory mathematics, to be fair. They're pretty straightforward mathematics. You don't need a master's degree or anything to get through this article, but there is some math in there. Essentially, is that the regression is coming. This is an unsustainably high percent of fly balls being hit out of the yard against Padre pitching this year. And so he does the math, and he's got animations and graphs and charts, and this number will come down.
Well,
and so when this number comes down, you know what's going to go up? The wins.
Wins.
There you go.
You know, and to put it in layman's terms, as soon as these starting pitchers, you know, start actually hitting better spots, being more consistent in the strike zone like they're capable of doing, now all of a sudden those mistakes that are over the middle of the plate that you're seeing going out of the ballpark now are going to be completely missed or foul back.
Yes.
But what you have to do is, you know, you have to pound the strike zone and be more effective in the strike zone, and then you get away with those mistakes. But when you're struggling with location, and like the scenario has been happening here the first quarter of the year, mm-hmm. you know, that's when all of a sudden those things get magnified. And it always seems like every mistake they make has been getting squared up and being hit out of the ballpark. And it really does seem like that right now.
No, it does. And that's what's mind-blowing. And this math would sort of back that up, that this incredibly high percentage of the balls being hit in the air against Padre pitching are leaving the yard. Now, again, I'm not a mathematician, but I like seeing all of this. My only hesitation is if we hopped in the Wayback Machine and went to May 20th of last year, we would have been talking about how low so many guys' batting averages were, right?
Right.
And I remember us saying, well, they can't possibly stay this low. And they kind of did, at least until July and August, and it was way too late at that point. So what I'm hoping is that 17% number starts to go down, like, now, as opposed to in July or August, when it could be too late.
Well, I think if it stays at 17%, you might be introducing yourself to some new pitchers. Leave it that way.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
You just can't keep it up.
No, you can't.
Impossible.
You can't. And the why, of course, that's for Buddy Black, Darren Balsley, and his pitching staff to figure out. I don't know the why the numbers, but it's got to come down. Mathematically speaking, statistically, statistical analyses would tell you that percent, that number would have to come down.
It will.
Okay, good.
I predict.
Well, I'm glad you do so. All right, now remember on Twitter, we haven't mentioned this yet today. I apologize.
I don't think you have to.
Well, no, it's nice to remind everybody.
You remind them, but they
know. Never know. Somebody's watching this right now for the very first time, and they're like, what in God's name is this thing?
Where have you been?
But the hashtag to join the show on Twitter is PadresSH. That's the hashtag. PadresSH. You can also go to Padres.com/social hour so that if you're not local, you can watch the show there. And also chat with other fans. You just type in your comments and your questions on your keyboard, and bada bing, bada boom, right there. We're going to take a break, though, now, Randy. When we come back, we'll get to some of the Twitter questions coming in. In addition to that, we're going to debut a new segment on Padres Social Hour. All I'll say is it is a competition, and it will involve you and Blooper.
There we go again, huh?
So I want you to get all fired up for that. Also, we'll talk about the Pat Murphy situation. Very interesting story involving the Padres manager at AAA El Paso.
Rumors flying.
Red hot rumors.
Come on.
All the way between here and Milwaukee and El Paso. It's a triangle of rumors. A rumor triangle, if you will.
Yes.
Between El Paso, Texas, San Diego, California, and Milwaukee,
Wisconsin. Are we going to set the record straight when we come back?
I'll do my best.
Thank you.
I will do my best. As your hometown pet retailer, Petco is proud to partner with the Padres in Petco Park. Thank you, San Diego, for sharing in our passion for pets and baseball. Petco, the power of together. We'll talk Pat Murphy when we come back. In addition to that, we'll get to your Twitter questions. And Seth and RJ are going to go head-to-head on Padres Social Hour.
Welcome back to the AMR studio. Live inside Petco Park, this is Padres Social Hour.
Welcome back, Padres Social Hour, presented by United Airlines. We got a Cub Buster t-shirt in the house.
I like it. I like it.
Oh, man, love those t-shirts from 1984. Fun times.
Yes,
fun times around these parts.
Let's revisit those this year.
That's what I'm talking about. I wouldn't mind raising another flag over the video board here or anything like that.
I just want to sell barbecue in October.
I like the way you're thinking. You want games here in October.
That's right.
And like late October.
Yes.
Not one of these, oh, look, there's a game on October 1st kind of situations. You want to be selling.
You want to see a smile on my face. Let me be selling barbecue on November 1st.
What's your personal favorite item at the Randy Jones barbecue stands?
Pulled
pork sandwich. Oh, that's the way to go.
Yeah. I mean, the close second is the big, half-pound hot
That's
dog.
Me.
That all-beef hot dog is delicious.
That's me. The giant all-beef hot dog, that's where I get my bread buttered.
I go by and monitor to make sure that they're marking them well and they're going to taste great.
There's a certain way
to barbecue those, and they're just
great. Now, can you tell us what the certain way is, or
it's sort of like a trade secret?
The
skin on them, and such a big hot dog, not all beef. But if you mark them and you darken that skin a little bit, it just has a better flavor. That beef
crispy
just comes out.
Crispy. Yeah. Oh. I'm hungry now.
I am, too.
Oh, I'm ready to eat.
Let's go have a hot dog when we get done.
Absolutely. All right. Hashtag PadresSH to join us on Twitter. We've got some tweets coming in, and we'll get to those in just a moment. Also, we're going to get to a new segment whereupon you and Blooper compete with one another.
I like it.
You like competing.
I like competing against Blooper.
Sort of as a guy that hasn't won a lot, he doesn't love competing.
Well, last year in our little competition, he made a little bit of a comeback late in the year, didn't he?
Yeah, but in order to make a comeback,
a little comeback,
by definition, you have to be down, and he was very down.
So
that's that. All right, let's get to some Twitter stuff here. David Mercer is the first to check in on Twitter today, and David says, hey, that stat on the home run percentage was good to hear. No way it stays that bad, we hope. And, yes, the we hope is exactly right. Again, I can't recommend the article enough from Jeff at Fangraphs.com. Check it out either at Fangraphs.com. You'll see it there on the front page. I also tweeted the link earlier if you want a little bit easier access to it. So let me ask you, Mr. Pitcher, you know this stuff better than the rest of us.
Yes.
Why so many home runs in your esteemed opinion?
Mistakes. I mean, that's what's kind of alarming. I mean, here you have a staff that's like leading the league in strikeouts and leading the league in giving up home runs. I mean, that is unlikely right there all by itself. But I think overall what I've seen is inconsistency. And like I talked about earlier, leaving a lot of pitches over the middle of the plate. It's unique that it's 17% of the time of the fly balls. That is really unique, unusual. But, it's really frustrating when you see certain things is magnified right now by just what's going on with the staff. But it's mistakes over the middle of the plate. You got to stay out of the inner third of the plate. Everybody knows that. Easier said than done, obviously, at times. But, they're not, you think you make a good quality pitch down and into a left-hander. Mm. You don't ever throw left-handers down and in.
Right.
There's not a quality pitch down there.
You just stay away from there.
Yeah. Stay away from there.
So execution, essentially, is
exactly.
The short version of
that,
what you're saying.
The short version, execution is what it's all about.
And there is no secret formula for execution. It's one of those hard work things. It's one of those between starts things, right?
You got to continue to work hard and get back to that good release point and the consistency. You see James Shields more so, you know, in what he does. And like I said, and I really meant it. It's a compliment. He has the best command outside the strike zone I've seen in a long time. And that's a compliment. He really does a great job. But, you know, also when he gets behind hitters, hey, nobody's giving up more home runs than James Shields. He's challenging guys. You know, that old best pitch in baseball is a strike. They're going to fail 7 out of 10 times. That's why there's just no way in the world this percentage continues over the course of a season.
All right.
It'll level out.
So what you're telling me is there's no magic wand, but you think that we've got nowhere to go but get better.
We will right the ship.
All right. Randy Jones says so, so no, it must be true. All right. Continuing with Twitter right here. Joe on Twitter. I love internet chatter about Buddy Black. All right. Look, Buddy Black will be the very first to tell you he wants to know our feelings on the quote-unquote hot seat. You've already seen a couple of managers relieved this year, one in Milwaukee, one in Miami. Buddy gets it. He's been asked about it as far back as spring training.
Right.
He understands this is a results-oriented business. I think that's all you can say, right? Like, he knows that. He's not an idiot.
Yeah.
Like, he gets it. He knows the situation. He knows the expectations are high. He also knows, I would imagine, that we're just a quarter of the way through this season.
Exactly. At any point, that's not hitting any panic buttons, ladies and gentlemen. I don't think it's time to do that. It hurts, too. You lose Will Myers on the DL. Yonder Alonso, two of the key guys to your lineup. You know, it didn't make it easy. Guys are, you know, filling the void right now and doing the best they can. But you know, we need to get those guys back in there in a couple of weeks. But right now, I'm not buying the idea that you're playing 500 baseball and you really haven't put it all together yet. No way. I don't think you're changing skippers yet.
Yeah, no, I mean, I'm certainly with you on that one. But that does sort of lead us into the Pat Murphy conversation.
Yes.
If you haven't heard about this, so Pat Murphy, who is an all-time great baseball person, like just a great guy, and the manager of the AAA El Paso Chihuahuas for the Padres. So we mentioned one of the two managerial changes that's taken place at the big league level is in Milwaukee. Ron Renicke out, Craig Council in as the manager of the Brewers. Craig Council played for Pat Murphy when Murph was the head coach at Notre Dame, which we don't hold against Pat Murphy, even though, you know, we like Pat, Notre Dame, bah. But so there was sort of this rumor or this thing out in the universe that maybe Craig Council, who has yet to change any of the coaching staff, by the way, in Milwaukee, might want to reach out to Merv to be part of his staff with the Brewers, and that the Padres are reportedly sort of maybe standing in the way a little bit. But from my understanding, formal permission has not been asked by the Brewers to Major League Baseball to get the clearance from the Padres to talk to Pat Murphy.
Yeah,
but this is sort of just added to all of the crazy speculation.
Exactly, because the speculation and the rumors were that they had asked permission and then the Padres had said no, you know, and actually that has not happened.
Right.
You know, and I don't think AJ in the front office, if Pat Murphy had an opportunity for a big league job like that, you know, I don't see them standing in the way of a guy, you know, getting to the big leagues and you know, I just don't see them getting in the way of that.
Now, along those same lines, the one thing I have heard or read that A.J. Preller said about this situation was, hey, we would love to not make this change right now. It can really cause, you know, some chaos up and down, you know, the farm system.
Well, it might be that, but I think just basically the tradition of baseball, you know, if Pat Murphy had an opportunity, I don't think A.J. would get in the way.
All right.
I really don't.
No matter what the opportunity was.
I don't know if you could with the I don't know if you're conscious.
Something on the big league.
Yeah, your
level,
conscience would bother you for a while if you said, no, you can't go to the big leagues.
Okay, so there you go. That's the Pat Murphy situation. Still something to keep an eye on,
yeah.
I would say. Something to keep an eye on and see how that sort of progresses along from here. Count Me In is a big, big fan of Pat Murphy.
Yes.
By the way, just get to hang out a little bit with him during spring training. He's always there.
Well, yeah, he's open. He coached Arizona State.
Yeah.
You know.
No, I know. Sun Devils.
Did a great job there.
Yeah.
Knows everybody in spring training.
He knows everybody everywhere. He's one of those guys. Everybody knows Pat Murphy, or Pat Murphy knows everybody.
From Notre Dame to Arizona.
Yeah, and even before that, Florida Atlantic.
Oh, man.
Going back towards where I grew up. Hey, you just mentioned Brandon Morrow, Will Myers, some of the other Yonder Alonso, the missing pieces for Buddy Black. Zach on the Twitter wants to know if you think right now the Padres are missing Morrow or Myers more. And by the way, Despaigne will start again tomorrow night. That was announced today in place of Brandon Morrow.
Well, I think right now it has to be Myers. I mean, Meyer's integral part in what he was doing in that leadoff spot. He's that spark leading the major leagues, especially the National League, in runs scored and making things happen. And I think it's very apparent right now that, you know, they're missing him really bad.
I would agree with that. Buddy Black did give a little bit of an update on both of those guys today in the dugout. With Myers, no real new news.
I wouldn't think so.
You know, didn't swing today. I like the way Buddy, you know, said it. He goes, we're taking the common sense approach with Will Myers. If it hurts, don't do it.
Yes.
And right now it hurts to swing the bat for Will Myers. So he's on the disabled list, and he's resting for a couple of days. Morrow will throw a bullpen session tomorrow, and then we'll see. So, obviously, you hope that that goes well. Then maybe another pen, maybe then a rehab assignment. But, you know, sort of hold our breath and wait another couple of days to see what's going on.
I'd say if he's good in the pen, you know, he's gonna, then he'll try to talk him into letting him go out and do the rehab without the second pen. Typical starting pitcher move.
Yeah.
You don't need two of them.
Yeah.
But, you know, Buddy, they'll probably do it on the air of caution. What you'd like to do is give him enough time to – get it back to 100%. Don't give me that 95.
We don't want to be rushing back.
You don't have to.
It's a long season.
It's a long season, and I want you 100% and healthy when you come back. You know, that way you're going to be a lot more productive.
I would say that is exactly right. All right, I mentioned it earlier. New competition, Blooper versus you. And what it is, Randy, the Supercuts head-to-head challenge. Now, here's how this is going to work. Every day we do this. Blooper is going to take one of the 9 Padres starters. That includes the starting pitcher if he wants it. And he is going to select the player he thinks is going to be the most impactful player in the game.
The player that's going to have the most impact in the game.
Right. This is not. There's no strict scoring system.
Got it.
It's not, oh, he got a double, so it's 2 points, and a strikeout, so it's minus one. There's not. It's right, much more subjective than that.
Who's the judge?
I am the judge. And so.
You're the judge.
Oh, yeah. That's going to cause all kinds of trouble. And then you're going to represent the couch. So it's Blooper versus the couch.
So the couch is our team of co-hosts.
So tomorrow, Mike Grace is going to be here. He represents the couch. Team couch, if you will. You're either with Blooper or you're with team couch. Team couch on a given night could be Randy or Bill or Kurt or Mike or Gar or whoever happens to be in that seat on a given day.
Okay.
So we've got tonight's starting lineup, and you're going to choose one, and Blooper is going to choose one. Out of fairness, we flipped a coin today to see who was going to go first.
Okay.
And then we'll rotate from there on after. So Blooper won the coin toss. I've never been able to say that. You know that? My whole life.
Coin toss?
I screw that up, like, since I was 8 years old.
Really?
I always mess that up. I don't know why.
Just call it the toss.
The toss. Blooper won the toss. He selected tails because, as everybody knows, it's a scientific fact. The tails never fails. And he won. And so Blooper gets the first choice today. So Blooper, you've pulled up the starting
lineup. Is
there a lineup?
Is there a lineup, Blue?
Yeah,
I can find it somewhere.
Oh, I can find it. He's got to find the lineup. It's not hidden anywhere.
He's got it memorized.
This is not Indiana Jones where you have to go hunting for the lineup. It's readily available. All right, so there you go. Almonte, Norris, Kemp, Upton, Solarte, Jerko, Middlebrooks, Barmas, Ross. And again, this is not a purely offensive competition. Defense matters. Pitching matters. What you're trying to do in the Supercuts head-to-head challenge is select the player out of the 9 who you think will have the most impact on tonight's game, win, lose, or draw.
All right,
Blooper won the toss.
You go first.
So who do you got, Blooper?
Tyson Ross.
He's taking the starting pitcher. Now, that's kind of a high-risk, high-reward move, right?
I like it,
because if he has a good game, it could be hard to argue with the starting pitcher. But if he doesn't, you're sunk.
He sure made it easy, because I was kind of going with the pitcher. And now that I have to readjust. And I'm going to go with Justin Upton.
Okay.
Only because of his reaction after his last at-bat last night. You know, I personally came out here early to give him a high five because that fired me up.
Somebody asked about that on Twitter.
He was so ticked off, you know, slammed the bat, slammed the helmet, flipped the gloves off. I love it. I like that.
I enjoyed that as well.
I enjoyed that. That fired me up a little bit.
All right, so here you go. This is our very first Supercuts head-to-head challenge. Randy takes Justin Upton. Blooper is taking
Tyson Ross.
Are you going to – you'll keep track of this? You'll write it down?
Yes.
All right. Is there an appeal process, Judge?
No.
What do you mean?
I'm like Roger Goodell. I make all the decisions.
If I don't agree with your decision and I'm
– then you're stuck with it. That's how this is going to go.
This is going to get noisy up in the press box.
So tomorrow on the show, I will judge the competition, and I will decide whether the couch won or whether Blooper won.
Okay.
You've got Upton. He's got Ross. That is how the Supercuts head-to-head challenge is going to work. At Supercuts, they pay attention to every detail. The cut, the lines, the hot towel finish, so you can feel sharp, clean, and ready to go. Find a Supercuts near you at supercuts.com. Good luck to both of you, gentlemen.
Good luck, blooper. You weasel.
I got this.
He's got this, he says.
I'm starting on you already.
This is going to be fun. I'm glad we're doing the Supercuts head-to-head challenge.
Yeah, me too.
All right, we'll take a break, come back. Got a lot more Twitter questions coming in, including about Justin Upton's reaction.
Good.
After the strikeout last night. Are you looking for paradise? Who isn't?
We all are.
Maui Waui Hawaiian presents delicious, made-to-order fresh fruit smoothies, as well as adult beverage smoothies. Visit the new Maui Waui locations inside Petco, at the Park at the Park, or on the Mercado behind home plate. They're also located in Oceanside, Camp Pendleton, and Temecula. Take a break. Come back. More Twitter questions after this. Padres Social Hour, presented by United.
You want some Padres talk?
We've got that.
Padres Social Hour returns now, presented by United Airlines.
Welcome back to the AMR studio at Petco Park. An absolutely gorgeous Wednesday night. Second game of three coming up between the Padres and the Cubs. Tyson Ross will be on the mound against the left-hander, Tsuyoshi Wada, who is making his first start of the season for the Cubs. A little bit of a deceptive left-hander. If you want to hear more about him, tune in to the pregame show.
That's correct.
With Jesse and Randy coming up in a few minutes. I want to get back to some Twitter stuff that's coming in. Mark used the hashtag PadresSH to pass along that, Randy, your outfit slash look tonight means serious business. Wait a minute. This is that guy, by the way. This is that idiot guy. Remember him from a few weeks ago, this idiot? Yeah. The guy had all these opinions on how he doesn't like you. Now I'm remembering, he doesn't want anybody like under the age of 25 on Padres Social Hour. He's the ageist.
Mark.
He's a real jerk, this guy. He's very nasty on Twitter.
Mark, come on down.
Very nasty on Twitter.
Come on down to the store, Mark. Yeah. I'll buy you a hat.
No, he wants to take over the show. He thinks he's got all the right ideas.
I'll buy him a hat.
That's very nice of you. All right, so that was Mark. I think he's complimenting your look, but maybe he's being sarcastic because he had previously said very nasty things.
But we'll find out. It's a long season, Mark.
That's it, man.
It's a long season.
All right, Eduardo is up next. Eduardo, here you go. He brought up what you said a few minutes ago. Justin Upton seemed very mad at himself. On that strikeout, what do you have to say? You loved that, didn't you?
That's refreshing. I loved it. And you need more, a little more of that. You know, you go ahead and express yourself. It's baseball. I mean, that's kind of a little bit old school. We see that. You know, a lot of people, you know, they don't want to do anything in front of the fans or whatever. I like to see a little emotion in the game.
I loved it.
He was frustrated.
Yeah, man, and he's allowed to be.
By the way,
he's frustrated. He's leading the teams in home run. He's leading the teams in RBIs. He's leading the team in stolen bases. Well, and yet he's still I love that.
I got postgame last night. I'm sitting up there watching the game in the press box. You know, and I'm getting a little tired of sitting there, okay? I've only been doing it for 30 years. And, you know, all of a sudden he slams that bat and that helmet down. The gloves go flying off. He got me all fired up, you know. I mean, before they got done, I was ready to go do postgame. Fired me up. I like it.
Love it.
Good stuff.
Who wouldn't like something
like that?
Come on. Is anybody, show of hands, the people hanging out in the store here, was anybody upset by that last night? No. Like, who are you worried about offending?
You kidding me?
Blooper's the only one that put his hand up.
Yeah, break.
He's like a little church mouse. Yeah, that's his thing.
We gotta talk, Bloop.
He says we got to go to break, too. So during your next trip to Petco Park, check out a seat at The Rail, presented by Montalvo Tequila. This bar rail seating area is in the Western Metal Building and features in-seat waiter service and great views of the field. Buy tickets to sit at The Rail at Padres.com. It's pretty cool. I checked it out a couple of weeks ago.
Really?
That is a nice way to take in
a
big league ball game. No, I was working.
I just asked.
I know. I can't mix those two things.
I didn't know you were working.
One is business. I'm always working when I'm here. Come on. all right. We'll come back, wrap up this Wednesday edition of Padres Social Hour from the AMR studio at Petco Park right after this.
From start to finish, it's the best 60 minutes of Padres talk you'll find anywhere. Now, from the AMR studio, it's more of Padres Social Hour.
Wrapping up Padres Social Hour, presented by United Airlines. Just about 40 minutes away from first pitch here, Tyson Ross against the Chicago Cubs. Looking to on a roll.
I still feel good. I like our competitive contest, but I just want Boober to know that I'm really pulling for, you know, his guy. I just want you to know that.
Well, that's very nice of you. That's very big of you.
I'm really pulling for Tyson Ross.
Absolutely. Hey, I want to talk about something serious for just a quick moment here. The drought, obviously, right? California had some rain last week, not nearly enough, way behind. Gaslampball.com, really nice write-up of some of the things the Padres are doing to bring water usage down this year here at the ballpark. Obviously, a good amount of water is used to maintain this field and everything like that. So check that out.
And we're serving a lot more alcohol. That saves water.
I suppose so.
We're not drinking water here.
It causes other problems, though. Anyway, this was a lot of fun. Remember, early game tomorrow, 6:10, not 7:10. So we'll be on at 4:30, not 5:30. Enjoy the game.